Good morning. This is Wake Up with Co-op. My name is Reg Argue. You're listening to Co-op Radio 102.7 FM, CFRO. We're going to be talking, the first person we're going to be talking to this morning is a Iraq War veteran and a member of the Iraq Veterans Against War. We're going to be talking about the Winter Soldier. To give people a quick background on that, in 1970s, when Vietnam was going on, there was a group of Vietnam veterans who went up to Washington, D.C., and they did a news conference where they were talking about what was going on during Vietnam, the conditions and everything, and it started to educate people. And so what the Iraq War veterans have done is they've revisited that idea, and they've started talking about what's going on over in Iraq, how the citizens have been treated, and also the conditions that they've been forced to endure. And being someone who has seen what war can do, the end result of war over in Iran in 1988, when I was with the Canadian Armed Forces on a United Nations tour, I don't support war in any way. And I can only imagine the horror stories that these gentlemen had shared. We're going to be talking this morning with our guest in a couple of minutes, and we're going to be hearing some of the stories that he had he's heard, and also some stories he's shared. And I hope that basically people are able to learn from this that you know, there's no glory at all in war. That if anything, that we should be pushing towards more peace, and we should also at the same time be using our efforts to start educating the people. Society itself, if you look at history itself, that you're starting to see that some of our history has been very, very dark. And if we could take time from our history, then what happens, we can learn from it and we can become a better future. Now, with that said, we now have Adam Koish. Are you there, Adam?
Yes, I am. How are you?
Good. Could you tell our listening audience briefly about Winter Soldier? The origins of it. I was briefly talking about it, but could you fill us in a little bit more?
Well, what we just had was Winter Soldier Iraq and Afghanistan, which was a hearing that we did over 4 days, March 13th through 16th, where we had over 300 veterans come together and over 100 offer testimony, and finally about 50 testify in public on our panels. And the goal of that was to really complete the picture for the American people about what's going on in Iraq and Afghanistan in all of our names. And, of course, to have it on record and do it before the world in a public testimony as we conducted it. But the American people, at least, have heard from so many biased sources. You know, we've heard from generals on the ground who are held up as this great authority, despite the fact that they've made it clear that they care more about their careers than the truth. We've heard from this administration, which we know has lied to us repeatedly. We've heard from politicians on both sides of the aisle who, you know, have their various agendas, some of whom are more concerned with getting reelected than anything. Excuse me. We've heard from the media, which in the case of this war and occupation of Iraq has unequivocally failed the American people in reporting the news about what's really going on, and all too often would rather cut and paste out of a Pentagon press release than do any real investigative journalism. And we've heard a little bit from the troops on the ground, and we're starting to hear more from guys like Casey Porter, who were willing to voice critical views whilst actually in Iraq, which is amazing right now. But I served in civil affairs, and when I was there in 2004, we were coached on what we were allowed to say to the media. And this kind of coaching still goes on to this day, but it came down to, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. There are a lot of not nice things that need to be said about what's being done in Iraq and Afghanistan. And so we came together to tell those stories that aren't just hard for us to tell, but hard for America to hear. And so this tradition of Winter Soldiering, of course, goes back through to the very beginning of American history.
And what were some of the stories that you heard?
At Winter Soldier?
Yeah, at Winter Soldier.
Well, I was one of the organizers, and my primary function at Winter Soldier was to provide mental health support for people who were testifying. Excuse me. And so I actually didn't hear any of the testimony, except for the panel that I testified on, which was Rules of Engagement 1, during Winter Soldier. But I did get to watch almost all of the videos, and I think I've seen all of them, because they're all available on our website at IVAW.org. And that's been we had it live streaming, of course, during the event, but that's been the primary means that people have been able to access this testimony. And, I mean, just it's tragic, you know. But to me, none of this stuff is really surprising, having been there, having seen it. You know, we get orders there were stories of people getting orders to do house raids based on intelligence from Iraqis. And, you know, they go in hard charging. They've got actionable intelligence. They think they're doing the right thing, and they do a house raid. They don't find anything. They finish up, and you know, realize that they're at the wrong address because it's Iraq, and they don't know how to get around the way they do the streets of the United States. You know, you hear about checkpoint shootings where someone was driving too fast near a checkpoint and got shot because someone got nervous. Because that was what their rules of engagement were, was, you know, if anybody comes close to your checkpoint, you lay them out. And so we heard stories of families being dragged out of vehicles, shot up because they were driving poorly or were in a hurry, or, you know, and all these stories, they're just, you know, you hear them over and over again, and it's frustrating. It's really tragic. But, you know, I told stories of a checkpoint shooting that happened during the Siege of Fallujah. I told a story about running a checkpoint on the northern bridge over the Euphrates River outside of Fallujah during the Siege of Fallujah in April 2004. And, you know, letting out women and children during a ceasefire and thinking that we were doing this great, noble thing when really we were giving families a choice to stay together and risk having a C-130 Spectre gunship round dropped on your head, or, you know, leave your adult males, anyone over 14, behind in the city and take your chances at what we literally sent people to was the mosque across the street. And we thought we were just the most noble, magnanimous people at the time, you know, but stop and think about it, you know, all we were doing was creating internally displaced refugees. You know, who knows how many of them were actually able to stay in the country after that.
I had a chance to talk to a Vietnam veteran recently, a gentleman by the name of Mark Webster, and he was talking about the Winter Soldier in regards to right after Vietnam was over, or correction, right before Vietnam was over. And what happens is, have you had a chance to sit down with any Vietnam veterans and compare what went on in Vietnam to what's going on with Iraq?
Oh, absolutely. We're very keenly aware of our heritage. In fact, the term Winter Soldier in this context comes from the Vietnam Veterans Against the War Winter Soldier investigation of 1971, in which they came together to demonstrate that the My Lai massacre was not an isolated incident, but rather the inevitable result of the policy being carried out in Southeast Asia. And for us, what we see happening today in Iraq and Afghanistan is too blatantly just the inevitable results of policy. So that tradition goes back, of course, to Thomas Paine during the American Revolution, who said, "These are the times of try men's souls. The summer soldier and the sunshine patriot will, in this crisis, shrink from his duty." Hence the tradition of winter soldiering. But we had a lot of members of Vietnam Veterans Against the War at Winter Soldier. They actually volunteered and stepped up in a lot of roles, helping out with logistics and security and a number of other things. I mean, frankly, we could not have done it without them. But also the spiritual guidance, the historical guidance. It's really tragic, but that call to winter soldiering now for Americans is all too similar to what it was in Vietnam. The call to speak out as veterans, as soldiers, as patriots, to, you know, against the government.
I recently watched a documentary on PBS a channel that comes out of Boston, and during the documentary, it had the Vietnam veterans throwing their medals onto the White House grounds. Do you see something like that happening with the veterans starting to stand up the way they did back in Vietnam and starting to educate the people and saying, "Look, this is enough. We've had enough." You know, and start showing all the pictures and everything. I know your organization is actually a very brave organization, is going that way, but do you see a lot of other veterans doing the exact same thing?
We're still growing exponentially. you know, we are the vanguard of the new GI resistance movement in America. Our organization, Iraq Veterans Against the War, we are the tip of the spear in what I think is what's going to end the war in Iraq. It won't be until this administration sees that their choices get us out of Iraq or destroy the military, which they are already well along their way in doing, will we actually get a real change in policy regarding that country.
I recently read an online article.
But there's like I said, we're growing exponentially. We got members coming in every day. We got people who are, you know, tons more who are sympathetic, who, you know, will never join an organization, but, you know, don't want to go back to Iraq. You know, you see it in a lot of subtle ways as well. And I don't try to speak for the troops ever, but when trying to describe, the sentiment of the troops who are in Iraq right now, or just the military in general, there's three things that I like to point out. And the first is the Zoghi poll that was done in February of 2006 of boots on the ground in Iraq. And in February of 2006, 72% said we should be out in a year or less, and 29% said we should be out immediately. That was over 2 years ago. The other thing is that we see an incredible increase in the numbers of AWOLs and desertions. That's absent without leave. Soldiers just abandoning their posts or going home on a weekend and not coming back because they know they're going to get sent to Iraq or going to Canada or Mexico. You know, as we saw in the characters considering in the movie Stop Loss, which I recommend, although I have my critiques. The third thing is a little bit more subjective, but when I went to Iraq in 2004, when we went in February, you could hear the enthusiasm for the mission. It was tangible. I had it too, and I was really excited. I was against the war before the war, but I volunteered to go to Iraq in civil affairs because I thought that what we were doing at that point was cleaning up our mess and really responsible foreign policy, and I wanted to be a part of it, and I enthusiastically risked my life for that lie. But nowadays, you don't hear that. And even I think when I was coming back in fall of 2004, you started to hear this switch. People now, when they go to Iraq, they just want to come home alive. They talk about, you know, they don't talk about killing the bad guys and saving the good guys and, you know, and dying for a good cause. They just want to come home. They want to get their squad home. They want to get all their buddies home in one piece. And I think that really says a lot about the attitude right now.
Well, we have to wrap it up now, Adam. We have the next guest coming on. Could you quickly, in 30 seconds, tell the listening audience where to go again to listen to that Winter Soldiers?
Well, all of the video footage now is available online at IVAW.org. That's IVAW for Iraq Veterans Against the War, India Victor, Alpha Whiskey. But also I have my own website, which is Kokesh, KOKESH.blogspot.com. And Go to our websites, get involved, do something. You know, this is only going to stop when we get all the help that we can get mustered together in a concerted effort to get these occupations ended.
And could you quickly leave with the listening audience your email, just in case someone wants to email you to ask you a question that we didn't cover
absolutely,
this morning?
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely. Adam.kokesh, K-O-K-E-S-H, @gmail.com.
Well, thank you very much for coming on, Adam. That was Adam Koish, who is the Iraq War veteran, and he's a member of the Iraq Veterans Against War. This is Co-op Radio 102.7 FM, CFRO. This is Wake Up with Co-op.